Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Dean Show. And today, bringing you another great topic up for discussion, we're bringing in our good friend who's been with us this week on The Dean Show, former Christian minister, preacher, Sheikh Yusuf Estes. Sit right there, don't move, and we'll be right back on The Dean Show.
Allah is enough for me, handsome Yusuf cried, Allah is enough for me.
Welcome back to The Dean Show. I'm your host, Eddie, and in The Dean Show studio, our special guest. Thank you again for being with us, Sheikh Yusuf Estes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
What kind of topic do we have today?
Can God be a man, Sheikh?
We're gonna say what?
Can God be a man? We have to get right down to it.
All right.
And we got to explain to the audience, because people are taking rocks as God, sticks as God, money as God, and they're taking a man as God. Is this possible?
First of all, let's talk about something in general. Let us agree before we start even having a discussion what is rational and what's irrational.
I agree.
All right? And when I point this way and I say, okay, this is up, and you say, yes, okay, that's up. And when I point like this, I say, this is down, you say, okay, this is down. Now, during the discussion, if you said, well, this could also be down, or this could also be up, I'm going to say, okay, that's the end of the rational discussion.
No, you're not being fair.
Yeah, have a nice day. I got things to do.
Up is up, down is down.
Yeah, well, there's some basic things when you talk about something in a rational discussion that go undisputed.
You just say that's here. It.
Yeah, you set parameters. Before we begin the discussion, when you say God, what are you talking about? Okay? And if you're talking about something that's limited, something that is human, something that's... then for me, this is not God. It's as simple as that. Because if you want to talk about God, and you're talking about the one who is the creator God that set everything into motion in the beginning, the one who is the sustainer, the creator, the one who is all knowledgeable. We're going to talk about the epitome of the qualities or attributes of this God, that he is not, he doesn't just know, he's all knowing. He doesn't just hear, he's all hearing. And he doesn't just have knowledge, he is all knowledge. So if you understand it from that perspective, then when you begin your logical discussion, your rational communication on the subject, you're going to be able to say, all right, this would work and this wouldn't work. But if you don't set the parameters in the beginning, then the discussion goes crazy. You can say anything you want to. You can say you're God. Well, go go ahead and say that, but what, it doesn't make it happen.
It's like playing a ball game with no rules now. No foul lines or nothing. We got to make sure we stay in the perimeters, like you said.
I'm from Texas. Yeah. I remember years ago someone said to me, would you like to learn how to play a new kind of poker? I said, poker? This is a card game. They said, yeah. They said, we got a new kind. It's called as-you-go poker. I said, as you go? They said, yeah, I make the rules as you go. No.
Doesn't work. So we made the rules now. If you say up, up, down, down.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, when we're talking about God, if you're saying God, meaning the one who created everything, quite obviously he's not the creation and doesn't need to go in his creation. It doesn't make any sense. Even a human, and we're not comparing God to a human, but if a human makes a computer, and he has a problem with it, he doesn't crawl into the software and try to work in for that. It doesn't work like that. That's nuts.
No.
And how about the Lord of the universe? When you realize that we as human beings are tiny compared even to a tree, or how about a tree compared to a mountain, or a mountain compared to the earth, or the earth compared to the sun, or the sun compared to the solar system, or the solar system we're in compared to other solar systems, which are much bigger. There are suns which are many times bigger than our sun. And then within that, you've got your galaxies. And these galaxies are huge. And within that, all gets bigger and bigger. Now you're talking about the Milky Way. Now they tell us even the Milky Way doesn't cover everything. And it goes beyond and beyond. And you're talking about the one who created all of this? And how in the world are you going to compare this God to something tiny and minuscule here on the planet? That's an insult.
Doesn't
That's
make
disgusting.
Sense.
Now, and once we've established that, now let's talk about, in particular, a man. If somebody said God could be a man, then the logical statement following that should be, then why can't he also be a woman?
I've thought about that. Why not?
And if they said God is a man, then where did he come from?
What color was he?
That's a good point.
What language did he speak?
There's another good point. And how tall is he? You see, you have to start defining God.
No, yeah.
And immediately you'll have somebody who'll go irrational on you here, and they'll say, well, yeah, but he's God, he can do anything. Well, this is another problem. Does God do anything? Is God without limits? If you said, well, God has no limits, okay. From a human standpoint, that will not make sense. And an atheist can shoot you down immediately, very easy. He can simply ask you, does God have any limits? And you say, no. Can God do anything? Well, he's setting you up. And you're saying, that's right. Is there anything God cannot do? He's got three questions to get you to the... Only three questions. And you're up against the wall and you don't even see it coming. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Is God without limits? You bet. Can God do anything? You bet. Is there anything God cannot do? Can God do anything? Yes. Absolutely, emphatically. Mm-hmm. Okay, can he die? Oh! Now, for some, they will say yes, because they'll say their God died on the cross, or their God died for me, or something like this. But to someone who's really thinking about it, he's going to go, no, the real God can die. Is that true? Can God die? How about this? Leave that one alone. Can he cheat? Can God lie? Can God trick you? Because if you say yes to that one, then how do you know you're on the right way? How do you know? If God can trick you, maybe the whole thing's a big trick. Huh?
Sounds like that poker game the guy was trying to make.
As you go. Just go along and change everything and play with people's brain. But in reality, the only way that a human being could come to know, or let's forget a human being, anything within the creation could never understand the Creator. This is impossible. Because that which is subjected to something bigger is not going to be able to control that or manage it. Because this doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Check this out.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Deen Show and another episode of the Mailbag. And questions from you. A question: if God can do everything, then why can't he be Jesus as a man who came to die for our sins? Some people ask this question, and this question, actually, to answer it, we have to know the characteristics of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the most just, he's the most merciful. Nothing is the like of him. And he's the all-hearer, the all-seer. And he's capable of all things. So his attributes cannot be contradicting to one another. So if he's capable of all things, he's still someone that is the most just. So can we say that since he's capable of all things, then why can't he be unjust? Can he perform injustice against people? This is not a valid question. Because there's no contradiction between one attribute and the other. So he's capable of all things, yes, but he's nothing is the like of him, because he's the most perfect. The creation, with their way of being created, they are in need of the creator. They eat and drink, and they have to relieve themselves. They have pain and things of that nature, which does not befit the creator of the heavens and the earth. So that's why God, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, did not come in the form of a human being. He does not need for such a thing. If people claim that he come in the form of a human being for the forgiveness of their sins, he's the most forgiver. He has the capability, if we say that he is capable of all things, he's the most powerful, then part of this is that he forgives people, and that's it. If people turn to him alone, seeking forgiveness, there is no need for such a thing to happen. He just forgives their sins, because he's capable of all things. Why would he have a son and send his son? People have son because they have deficiencies. But this is not the case when it comes to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And what about the people that were present before Jesus? Those who died in the state of sin, would they be doomed in the hellfire forever? Because Jesus was not living at their time, because he came, as people claim, to die for the sins of the people. It doesn't make sense. And plus, if it's true, If it's true as it says in the Quran, in one of the verses, قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ, which means, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the Most Merciful has a son, I will be the first to worship him. But this is not true. And what's the evidence and the proofs that this is the case? There's no evidence. God refuted this claim. And it's clearly a deficiency. And again, there's no contradiction between one attribute and the other. So God is the most just. There's no need for such a thing to happen. If people would turn to a creation, if they turn to Jesus, then what would make them not believe in another creation? Someone would come and say, I'm another son of God. And someone would say, I'm a third son of God. And worship me. I come and I suffer for you. What would stop the people from believing in him? There's no evidence in such a thing. Right? So that's why, what compare this beliefs to the belief, and there is, Jesus was a prophet of God, a human being that has the characteristics and the qualities of a human being, but a messenger of God, aided by miracles and everything from God. Nothing is the like of the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's where we turn to alone and we worship him alone and we do not worship a creation. Present the two arguments to someone that is away from all forms of religion. Which one will he choose? I think the answer is clear. The normal way is to believe in the creator and the heavens and the earth, and that his attributes, and this is the main key, is not contradictory to one another. He's the most merciful, he's the most just, he is the most powerful, and he's the most wise. There's no wisdom in such a thing that did not even prove itself to be true. So we call everyone to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of Jesus, the Lord of Jesus, the Lord of Moses, and the Lord of Prophet Muhammad, and our Lord, to worship him alone, that he has the perfect names and attributes. He has no son, he has not begotten, he would not depend on anyone, he does not have a wife, he does not have what these individuals and the human beings have. Nothing is the like of him, and he's the all-hearer, the all-seer. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us see the truth and to hold fast to the truth. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
He being a former Christian minister, you actually used to believe that God was a man.
I would have probably done the irrational thing with you and said, well, yes and no. Because when you answer a question with yes and no, you canceled out both sides of it already, and you're going to give an irrational answer. That's why you say that. Well, yes and no. Yes this, but no that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Could God be a man? Well, not God, but a form of the God, a part of the God, but not the whole God.
You kind of get in a sticky web over here.
Well, yeah, because if you say God's a man, okay, he's walking on the earth, yeah. Who's running the rest of the universe? Huh? Well, he had it on automatic pilot. You go, automatic pilot? They had automatic pilot. Said, well, you know, God has whatever he wants to have. You know, he can put it on autopilot. Where do you get this stuff from? Well, you can say that a form of God, a spirit of the God. Well, how many spirits has he got? We don't know. He could have a bunch of spirits. Okay, so how are you going to argue with that? But the contention now of the Muslim is this, that the only way the human is going to know God is by revelation. God reveals himself through what we call scripture or revelation, and has done so since time immemorial. And we know this is evidenced by the many manuscripts that have been found and discovered around the planet. They don't all match because they're not originals. None of these are originals. Many of them are copies of copies of copies. Many of them are translations of copies and things like this. But it's enough and suffice to say that we know there were original manuscripts. We know there were original revelations. And we know, based on so many of the continuity of so many of them that you can compare, that yes, there was revelation that came from God. Does it exist in the original format? We're going to say no. As do most of the real scholars of the Bible, say no. In fact, recently Bart Ehren, if you've perhaps heard of him, one of the biblical scholars, has some books out on Borders Books and Music at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. By the way, do you get any cutback or royalty from these guys if I mention their names or anything?
No.
No? Oh, darn. And I thought maybe. So they can go to these places and look for a book called Misquoting Jesus, or another book, it's called Lost Christianities. Lost Christianities and Misquoting Jesus by Bart Ehren. And that's spelled E-H-R-A-N, I believe. And he makes it clear. He used to be a real strong Bible thumper, much stronger than I was. And he used to go to the Moody Bible Institute up in Chicago, here.
Yes.
Yeah. And he says in his books, it's even on the jacket cover, he wants to be emphatic about what he's going to say. He says, now look at this. And he said, I want you to see what I'm saying. We do not have a copy of 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 anything that was original. He's saying for the, all of the whole entire earth, of all of the collections and all the museums and all of the scrolleries everywhere, there's no such thing of even a copy of 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 anything original. The only original scripture extant today is called Quran. And the reason is because Quran doesn't mean a book. It doesn't mean a piece of paper. It doesn't mean ink. It means what is being recited. Quran is being recited today as it was recited at the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And it's impossible to imagine that 10 million people today can recite the entire Quran from memory without looking at anything. From age, are you ready for this? Age 6 years old, all the way up to 96. You've got, in other words, I'm saying this, that basically all ages of people, 10 million people can quote it, and their native language may be, for instance, Farsi. Their native language may be Urdu, or their native language could be any of the languages in India or Indonesia, where they speak many languages, but not Arabic. Yet in Arabic, they can totally recite this whole thing for it. So this is an existing document. Let us look to that document and see what it says about other documents. And in fact, it tells us that a true believer must believe in what is anzila, which is sent down, ilayka, to you, wa anzila min qablik, and what was sent down before you. And it refers in the Quran to something called the kitab and the people of the kitab. Kitab means book. It also refers to something called Zabur. Zabur translates to English as Psalms. It also refers to something called Suhuf, which translates in English to Scriptures. And it says, Suhufa Ibrahima wa Musa. This means the Scriptures of Abraham and Moses. And it refers to all of them and says that God had sent these revelations to these great prophets so they could explain who God was, what the nature of God is, what the correct religion is, and so on.
And nowhere did any of these prophets who had these revelations ever come up with this belief that God was a man. From Noah, Abraham, Moses.
You can't prove they did or didn't from the scriptures that are being promoted today as being the Bible. But you can definitely do that from the Quran, because the Quran denies this. It says, Lam yulid, wa lam yulad. He's not the father of anything, and he's not the son of anybody, just so you make it clear. Now, there is a phrase in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19.
Numbers 23, verse 19?
Correct.
Which says?
It says, God is not a man.
It says clearly in there, God is not a man.
Absolutely. God is not a man that he should sin, and God is not the son of man that he would repent.
Is there any explicit statement where Jesus, peace be upon him, ever claimed that he was God and called people to worship him?
Well, no, actually he said the opposite of that.
What did he say?
He said that he's only there by the will of God. He's only doing what God is giving him permission to do. He doesn't do anything of himself, but rather of the one who sent him.
I want to come back to that, but really quickly answering, you went into God setting the perimeters of what God can and can't do, and how do you...
No, I don't say that. We as Muslims don't say God can't do something. What we say is God doesn't do anything that would make him no longer be God.
That was what I wanted to ask. Yeah, when someone asks you, can God do everything? So how do you answer that?
Well, what he says, that his capabilities, Allahu ala kulli shayin qadir. It says that Allah is capable and has the power to do whatever it is that he wills to do.
Whatever he wills to do.
Whatever he wants to do, he can do it. So if you ask me, can God do anything, I will say he can do whatever he wants to. You see? Then you can't pull that trick. Well, can he die? He doesn't want to. It's as simple as that. You just need to know the rest of the phrase. Because it's very clear in the Quran. God never wills to fall asleep. He doesn't will that he's going to die. He doesn't will that he's going to forget anything. His memory or his, let's just say knowledge. I'm not going to talk about memory. We're going to say knowledge is absolute. With absolute knowledge, you don't need any memory because you already know everything all the time.
Yeah, so God basically doesn't do stupid things.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Well, then he wouldn't be God.
He's the most just, so he doesn't do unjust things.
Well, he has these names. Yes. His name is Al-Adil, mm-hmm. which means he is the absolutely fair.
Yeah, so he's not going to be unfair now.
He can't. He would not be that quality anymore. Yeah. Another quality he has is Ar-Rahman, which is totally merciful. Totally and completely merciful. He is all merciful. And in fact, his mercy is for all as long as they don't commit the one unforgivable sin.
And which is that?
Well, probably we ought to do that in another
we'll
program,
another
make
show.
People come back.
Okay.
If I tell them right now, they'll say, okay, I got it on you to come back to the Dean Show.
So stay tuned. On another episode, we're going to be talking about the unforgivable sin. You can also see it on thedeanshow.com. We're going to come to a close in a few minutes. Tell us now, going back to Jesus, you mentioned one verse in the Old Testament, Numbers
23:19.
Write that down where it says God is not a man. And you mentioned Jesus calling people to the will of God, not to...
Well, look at this. In the New Testament, you have two places where Jesus is supposedly... I always say supposedly because we don't know exactly what he said.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the document anymore. But it's very likely, considering what we have quotes in the Quran. The Quran says that Jesus called the people to worship my God and your God, my Lord and your Lord. Now, this is a direct
quote. That's in the Quran.
This is the Quran said he said it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you do find that in the Bible, which you do, then you can say, okay, worship my Lord and your Lord, my God and your God. Okay. So, it says it in the Quran, it says it in the Bible. We don't need the Bible to say that. We got the Quran, it says it.
So, no explicit statement where Jesus ever calls people to worship him, where he says, I'm God, worship me. Nowhere in the Bible.
No.
Real quickly, we're going to
come back to this one more time and look at this. He's telling people in the New Testament to pray like this, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's telling you and I and everybody, pray like this. Ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's true, if he said that, then did he do that? And in fact, he said, I don't do anything except by the will of the one who sent me. And you see Jesus praying and asking, and he's asking for God. Even when he says, let this cup pass from me, but even so your will be done. This is what I want, but whatever you want is bigger and better, and I'll accept it.
That is very clear. How about implicit statements where people take verses, twist them, and say, look, Jesus said, I and the Father are one, or no one comes through the Father except through me. Someone's probably watching us on this program now and say, no, he said, I and the Father are one. Look.
Well, first of all, you don't know he said that. You don't have the original text. I'm sorry. But you're trying to give an illogical argument based on what you don't have.
Okay.
But even if you have that, even if you have a statement like that, do you agree with me that there is a God?
Yes.
Are we one in agreement on that? Well, okay, folks, I just want to let you know that Eddie and I are one. Aren't we?
Yes.
On that subject?
On that subject, we're one, absolutely.
Okay, so what happened? Did I just become your Siamese twin?
No.
Duh. I mean, come on, you know, let's be rational. Because if you say things like that, you totally destroy other teachings in the Bible itself, totally disclaiming those things. Okay? If you go through the Old Testament and read it, you don't find anywhere that God is calling himself a father. These things were added much later. And they were only added in the New Testament.
We're going to have to talk about, in our next show, the unforgivable sin. We're also going to be talking about many things. Another one about the sonship. People hearing this word, Son of God, I'd like for you to bring you back on and to actually...
I tell you, there's a really good website that we have for this purpose, because a lot of people are curious to know more things about God. And I've in the past told you about GodAllah.com.
Yeah.
GodAllah.com. But there's another one we have that I think will help people a lot too. It's called the Islam Code, ISLAMCODE, IslamCode.com. That's just two words, islamcode.com. And that's where you're going to find some of the things that we're talking about now and possibly in the future as well.
Okay, well, thank you again for answering our questions.
Zakalakhir.
And you know what? Real quickly, just so nobody gets the wrong idea, let them know what we, how we actually feel about Jesus, because this is somewhat of a touchy subject.
We can do a whole episode of this, and it wouldn't be enough. But suffice to say, we as Muslims are commanded to make no distinction between any of the prophets. Our love for Jesus must be there because we have a love for Muhammad. We have a love for Adam and Abraham and Moses and David and Suleiman and Jesus and John the Baptist and Prophet Lut and Prophet Ayub, which is Job. We love all of them, and we don't make distinction between any of them. And this is very clear as a Muslim, because if I don't have this, I can't be a Muslim. I love them so much. You hear us say so many times, peace be upon them, peace be upon them. Alayhi salam in Arabic means, and peace be upon him.
And you heard the Sheikh say it, we love Jesus, you're not a Muslim if you don't believe in Jesus. This is one of the basic teachings of Islam, coming from a former Christian minister preacher whose relationship is actually tighter with Jesus now. So we invite you to log on to thedeanshow.com. You can also visit the websites that Sheikh Yusuf Estes mentioned for more information about this topic and others. And we hope to see you again on The Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.